You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones. Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and welcome to the program, Wake Up. And I think I need another cup of a tea this morning to wake up. I'm having a hard time waking up this morning. I just don't know why. Been a little sluggish lately. My business partner's been sick. My wife's been sick. And Lord help me, because I do not know how to cook. I get nervous anytime my wife gets sick. I just get nervous. I know I believe Paul said in the Word of God that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, one of the things I can't do is cook. I'm trying, but I make a mess of things. And but anyway, my wife made a pot of bean soup before she started getting sick. Business partner trying to let him stay home, and I'd run the company. And so it's been a little bit challenging. I think it's worn on me a little bit. I'll do my best to do a good program for you all. I just pray that that you're all having a great week. Remember that the Word of God tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you need, you know, he can help you. You know, I believe we need to become more dependent on him now than ever. This is such a time as this that our dependency doesn't need to be on the world system. You know, you can look at the glitter and glamour in Hollywood. I'm not picking on them, but you can look at all that stuff going on in Hollywood. And, you know, and I thank God for movie stars. You know, don't get me wrong, but it's just a lot of glitter and glamour. I love what the Word of God says. Better where there is little where love dwells than plenty where hate abounds. What that means is, you know, better where there is little. When you go home, yeah, there's not much. You know, the Lord provides your needs, not your wants. And then go to a mansion and go in, and it's filled with hate and strife. And I'm so glad for the Word of God, because I'm encouraging you all to spend more time in the Word of God, to spend more time in prayer, because that's really important, because the days are just, they're awful. I have to be honest with you. They're just awful. I mean, if there's ever a time that the days are getting darker, I think we're in them. And, you know, we're at war with Iran, and just keep them in prayer, keep the U.S. in prayer. It's awful, you know. And I see the social media. I don't get on social media. I really don't have time for that. But I see a lot of people on it. And I think you need to, I like what the late Charlie Kirk said. My wife reminded me yesterday that I think, you know, the Sabbath day on Sunday, you know, Charlie Kirk said that you should turn your phone off, spend time, you know, at church with your family, tune the world out, you know, because I tell you what, the late Charlie Kirk, he was right. You just need to have one day of rest. And Danny was talking about that today, you know, going to church and observing the Sabbath day and letting your body rest on that day, because we can get so caught up, you know, the busyness of life and our jobs. And of course, if you turn on the news, you know, I can only take about 5 seconds into the news and I'm done. You know, I don't want to be ignorant what's going on in the world. But I tell you, if there is ever such a time we need Jesus, it's now. It's now. And I'm being honest, you know. And John, it said, I am the way, the truth, the light. No man goeth to the Father. It didn't say no man goeth to Allah, Buddha, you know. And no man goeth to the Father but through Christ. You know, he said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. I'm not trying to be political here. I'm not trying to get on different religions. I'm not. But I can tell you this, that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one goeth to the Father but by me. And that life is only found in Christ. Well, you know, last week I had a couple on. You know, I got to tell you, I miss them. They left Sunday, and they moved to Tennessee. The Lord moved them. I believe they were in Naples, Florida, and the Lord called them to a ministry up in Tennessee. And I have to tell you, when I had them on, they were a breath of fresh air. They both loved to write music and to bless the body of Christ, bless the world. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go into this world and be a light to the people that don't know Christ. And so I just pray, you know, that they had a safe trip. I just text him to see how they made it up there okay, and ask him if I could play one of his wife's songs, "Leaning on Him with His Everlasting Arms." And when they were talking and playing, we played the song, I was literally in tears, because, you know, I don't know about any of you, but I can't make it through the day without bowing my head saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your supernatural strength to get through this day. I need you. I just need you. So let me play that song, Leaning. And it's a beautiful song by Ashley. She was on, she and her husband were on last week. And let's listen to it again, because it sure ministered a lot to me. Beautiful. Boy, there's not a day that goes by that song doesn't just replay back in my mind, that leaning on the everlasting arms. If you need rest, whatever you need, whatever you're going through, you know, the word tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, and I think that's so important, that, you know, we draw closer to him, as the word of God tells us. Draw near to him, and he will draw nearer to you. And so worship music is so important, you know, that he inhabits, his word says, the praises of his people, not the complaints, you know, the grumbling, the murmuring, the praises of his people. So in your quiet time, you know, and I encourage you to develop each and every day, you know, I'm here live. I come in each week to encourage you to just spend some time with him, you know, in the morning when you're having your coffee, waking up, you know, the hustle and bustle of life, take a few minutes and bow your head, you know, and say, Lord, you know, I need you. Our nation needs you. And matter of fact, the whole world needs you, you know, because your word tells us that that you are the way, the truth, and the light. No man goeth to the Father but through you. And we're desperately, just have us to fall deeper in love with you like never before. And Father God, I thank you for this day. And I pray, Father, that you would also touch me. And just give me the words to share to the listeners, that those that are listening, I pray that I don't put anyone to sleep. I pray that that I came here to encourage your people to be all that they can be in these last days, Father God, that we live in. That they could rise to the occasion, stand up, speak up, and in your love and in your grace and in your mercy, be that light that you've called them to be. It's not about, Father, any of us making a name, a title, writing books, and, you know, it's not about our stuff that we ever will ever possess. It's really knowing you and falling deeper in love with you. And that's what it's all about. And I pray, Father God, that we would have compassion on your people, that we would see them and feel their pain, feel their hurt, their disappointment. May we become, Father God, your eyes, your ears, your legs, your arms, that we could stretch them out, those that need a touch or a hug or those that need a word of encouragement, that we would be that to those people that you bring in our life on a daily basis. And so thank you, Father, for this day. For the listeners that are listening, I pray that they would be encouraged today and stirred up. Stir us up, Father God. Stir us all up. Wake us up, Father God, spiritually. Wake us up. If we've been asleep, Father God, just please wake us up. That is my prayer. And my message this morning is going to be about the harvest. And if you don't mind, I'm going to play another song. And it's one of my most favorite songs by Michael W. Smith. I just feel led to put a song on because I do like to worship. And I want you to get in that habit of worshiping Jesus. You know, not to worship the worship. I don't want you to do that because, you know, sometimes we can worship Jesus, but are we really worshiping Jesus? Are we worshiping the worship? And we have to be careful that we're not worshiping the worship, that we worship him. And so enjoy this song, it's one of my most favorite. Michael got to come to Hawaii one time, and I couldn't get to the concert because it was booked, and the mission team was gone, and I had a lot of responsibility, and I couldn't have gone anyway, but he came to Hawaii, and I believe this is one of the songs that he sang there in Hawaii. So I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be right back.
Again, there's a deep desire, a It's burning like a fire to know you as my closest friend. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. My heart beats for you, precious.
That song is so good. I'm all deep in love with you. Like, that's my desire for each and every one of you, that we wouldn't fall deeper in love with the things of the world, or, you know, the things that are going on in Hollywood. You just be who Jesus wants you to be. You know, we don't need to put on. We don't need to just be yourself. You know, be who Jesus created you to be. You know, and don't put your eyes on, you know, what other people have, or their homes, their cars, their degrees, what. And you just keep, you stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus, And that's the most important thing. One of the things I think that's missing, you know, in America is really not, I know there's churches that are doing it. And I thank God again for, thank the Lord for the pastors that are out there and getting the youth in the land to get out and share Christ with other people. But I think it's needed, because my message this morning is in Matthew chapter 9, and it's the workers are few. And this is about Jesus speaking. And you can find it in Matthew chapter 9, and we start at verse 35. Jesus went through all the town and villages, reaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking now, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is what Jesus was saying. Let's look at it again, what Jesus is saying. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And I believe, you know, years ago when I read this story, it's like, you know, okay, Lord, I need to go to Africa. I need to go here. No, not necessarily. It's wherever the Lord tells you to go. You can go to the supermarket, and that's the harvest field. You can minister to your neighbor next door. But I believe, you know, the greatest mission field that I feel in my heart, you know, is really America. You know, it's really America. You know, the glitter, the glamour, you know, and I'm not against cosmetic surgery. You know, Lord knows I need a little bit of it. But I think we're getting too caught up. You know, I think we're falling in love with things and stuff and money and all this other stuff. And, you know, our image. And, you know, Lord, help us. You know, the word reminds us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and don't let us hunger after the things of the earth, Father God, anymore. Let us hunger after you. And what's important to you is really getting into the harvest and ministering to God's people, encouraging them. Those that don't know Christ, you'll share the word with them, that they too can come to know Christ and have that life, as the scriptures tell us, life. I came to give you life, and I came to give to you abundantly, you know. And because if you don't do it, someone else is, could they do it? Minister, we're seeing a rise in our country, a move in our country that, to me, is quite frightening. You know, it's quite frightening, you know. When you can become a senator or a congressman, I'm not trying to be political here, and you don't have to put your hand on the Bible. You can put it on the Quran. You know, if they know, I think that should be not allowed. You know, I'm not on social media, but I did post something. And I saw someone that once said we're no longer a Christian nation, and I replied back. And this went all throughout, probably throughout the universe, the earth, or rather. And I said, we are a Christian nation, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. You know, we are a Christian nation, and we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And we need to understand that, you know. And there's a lot of people that think it's not, you know, but it is, you know. And this person said we're no longer a Christian nation, but we are. And we've really thrown God out of everything now. You know, the Ten Commandments are gone. You probably can't find a Ten Commandments written in the church or the schools anymore, the courthouse, they're gone. You know, prayer in schools, non-existent, you know. And what has happened to us? You know, if you want to become a senator, you put your hand on the Bible. And you don't come here with your beliefs. And I mentioned, you know, and I could get corrected today on this, but, you know, Islam, you know, they want to take over. And I think it's high time that we stand up as Christians and say, look, we've had enough. You know, don't bring your attitude and your stinking thinking to America. This is a Christian nation, you know. And if you want to practice the stuff that it's not a religion, folks. You know, to me, it's a death sentence. You know, they want to kill people. And God said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. God doesn't go around killing people and blowing up buildings. And I may be touching on some toes here. You know, maybe I shouldn't go this way. But that's what's on my heart. Because Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I believe it's time that we, the Christians, start standing up. Whether you're a congressman, senator, Democrat, Republican, makes no difference to me. you need to stand up and speak up, you know, about Jesus, you know, because he went to the cross and shed his precious blood that you, I might have that life and might have it more abundantly. So next week, I'm going to be ministering on how to go into the harvest and how to share Christ with people. My wife said you first got to get to know people, and that's correct. And you have to love them where they are. You can't have a condemning spirit, and I don't want to come across that today, you know. But I believe Islam and the Muslims, they want world domination. And, you know, don't bring it to America. You know, this is a Christian nation. We are founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And we serve a big God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I really think we're asleep. I think we're asleep in the church. I think we're asleep. And Lord, help me on this one. That we don't minister to anyone anymore. We don't love on them anymore. People come to church, and I heard one lady say, "Well, I went to this one church and no one came up to me." Well, you know, church folk, you know, if you see someone coming in, just go up to them and say good morning. You know, they might not even know Jesus, and go up and tell them welcome. You know, and the sinners in the world, you know, you have to go up to them and you have to love them with Jesus' love. You know. And because if you don't stand up and speak up, who's going to? Could we be overrun someday? Yeah, possibly. It's possibly we could. You know, we're a Christian nation, not a Muslim nation. And you know, they want to bring that stinking thinking to America. And this is a Christian nation. And if we remain silent, you know, like the Jews did, well, guess what? They can lock us up too and put us in the dungeons and burn us up. You know, if we don't speak up. And that can happen. You know, little by little, our rights are being, could be taken away from us. You know, could they be torturing us someday because we're Christians? You know, and I'm not getting political here, but I think it's time for the church to stand up. This is our greatest hour, to be that light into the dark places that he's calling us to be. You know, there isn't, if I can find it, let me see if I can find it. But in 1 John, it says, and I was just there, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It does not say he who has Allah has life. He who has Buddha has life, but who has Jesus has life and have it more abundantly. Let's look at that again. It's in 1 John chapter 5. And if we go down verse 11, God has given us his Son, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I didn't see Muhammad going to the cross. I didn't see Buddha going to the cross. I didn't see Allah going to the cross. It was Jesus that went to that cross. And he who has the Son, it says, has life, and that Son is Jesus. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Yeah, you can know all these Buddha and, you know, Muhammad and all that, but they don't bring life, you know. And I see, you know, people searching after all the wrong things. Some people are searching for stuff. That's the one time I had a person tell me, "Well, just have faith." I said, "That's right. We have to have faith in Jesus." She said, "No, you can put your faith in a doorknob." I said, "What?" She said, "You can put your faith in a tree." "No, you can't. No, you can't. You can only put your faith in one thing, and that's Jesus and Jesus alone." And that's where the America. That's where we have gone off, you know. Now we have idols. Now we have, you know, que sera, sera, wherever we'll be. And, you know, it's Jesus, folks. It's Jesus. He said, "I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you abundantly." It wasn't Allah that would come. It wasn't Buddha that would come. It's not Muhammad that would come. It's not Allah. It's Jesus. And we have to understand that, and we have to take this message into America and stand up, because I tell you, we're a broken nation. And how are we a broken nation? Because we have thrown God out of everything. Yo, don't tell them. That'll offend them. That'll offend them. You know? And I believe that and I know that we have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. But if it's a religion that's going to come and blow you up and blow your buildings up and murder you, that's not a religion. And that shouldn't be allowed in America. And we as Christians, we need to take our place and stand up. And more, we're allowing them to build their mosque in our country, take over, run cities, and don't have trouble with that. But I do have trouble when they impose their beliefs, because this is a Christian nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We, the church, need to go into the harvest, and I believe the biggest harvest right now is the U.S. of A. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And we look to one man or one person that's going to solve the issues. Nope, they're not. Only the person that's going to solve this problem is Jesus. If my people, the word says, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, help our nation. Then will I hear from them and heal their land. And you know, our land needs a healing. You know, we hate this one. You know, we shouldn't hate anyone. You know, you might be a Democrat, Republican, and again, I'm not getting into politics, but you shouldn't hate that Democrat. You shouldn't hate that Republican. You shouldn't hate them. And I believe when you get that, or you don't like your neighbor, you don't like this one, and I tell you what, and then you begin to hate that person. And guess what happens? I believe that hate builds up a spirit of murder in your heart that you want to completely get rid of them. You want to completely get rid of them. And that's wrong. You need a spirit of love, God's love, because he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, you know? And we need to be that light into the dark places that Jesus is calling us to be in. And I believe he's calling us to speak up, you know? Be not just hearers of the Bible. The scriptures tell us, be not just hearers of the word, but what? Be doers. Be doers. You know, because if you don't think for one moment they can't come in and lock us up, you've got to think again. They can. You know, a lot of people don't like Christians. They don't like Jews. We're seeing that. 50% of Americans are anti-Jews, I believe. My wife was telling me, and that's awful. You need to love the Jews, and because they're God's chosen people. And be careful, because if you don't like them and you're saying bad things about them, you know, you need to be careful, because the word says, I'll bless those that bless Israel and I'll curse those who curse Israel. So be careful with this. You know, I know a lot of stuff's going around on social media about, you know, the Jews, and they're holding America hostage and manipulating America and all on and on and on. Well, you know what? All I know is Israel is the apple of God's eye, and he loves Israel. That's his home. All I'm sharing today with all of you is we need to minister effectively to people today. And I'm going to share that next week, how to minister effectively to the unsaved and how to be that blessing to those that are saved, and to learn to speak up and not be shy. This is not a time to be shy. It's a time to stand up, speak up. But when you do that, you have to do it not with hate and not revenge. You have to be firm, but you also have to share with people, hey, you know, like the one girl that I met, and my wife told me, you know, go back to her. And my car turned around. I went back, and this girl has a big sign on US-1 says, revolution, revolution. You know, I said, that's right, revolution. She said, yes, man. Yes, sir, that's right. I said, we need a revolution, all right. And she said, we do. And I said, well, what are you about? And she said, well, you know, I'm not for capitalism. She said, I'm not for all this other stuff going on in America. And down with this one, down with this person, down with capitalism, down with that. And I'm thinking, what? And I said, well, I believe we need a new revolution. She said, what do you think we're talking about? And I said, it's Jesus. We need a Jesus revolution. Revolution in America. That we need to make his name known, not our name. We need to quit falling in love with the world and the things of the world. Start falling deeper in love with Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about. And we need to speak up and go into the harvest. You see someone at the store, and you might want to ask them, get bold and say, do you know Jesus? You know? And if they don't want to talk, well, then, you know, do it in love and say, well, okay, thank you. Don't argue with them. But there'll be people that are hurting. And there are a lot of people in America that are hurting. You know, that are hurting. How do we reach those people in America? How do we reach some of the senators? How do we reach some of the Congress people that some of them are way off? Again, I'm not being political here. You know, but I'm speaking to both Democrats and Republicans. You need Jesus. That's the answer. If you need an answer, you just need to get on your knees, congressmen and the senators, whether you're Democrats or Republicans, and you need to say, Jesus, help us, because we don't know the answer. The word says you receive not because you've asked not. You start asking Jesus, and maybe you start receiving some things, especially about this deficit problem that we're having. That's going to choke us. If we don't do something about it, it's going to choke us, you know? So I don't know what the deficit is. I don't even want to know anymore. And when it was 32.5 trillion, a mathematician once said that it would take to pay off the deficit at 32.5 trillion. I don't know what it is today. 45 trillion, 40 to 45. I can't remember. But this mathematician studied and said at 30.5 trillion, he said if we didn't have to pay any interest on that debt, he said it would take the government to pay $1 million an hour for 3,222 years. Well, we'd never live long enough to see that paid off. Your children wouldn't see that. Your great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren, they've got to do something about it. They're kicking the can down the road. And the only way you're going to get an answer to that, Mr. President, but you know, our congressmen, senators, is you guys got to really be on your knees. You know, you guys got to get on your knees. And, you know, you do. Because the greatest battles that I find that can ever be won is on our knees. And I may be speaking to someone here. Maybe you've been arguing a lot and arguing with this one. And you know, don't argue politics with people. You know, don't do it. You know, just be that light that Jesus called you to be. You know, stand up. And if you have an issue, you know, just take it to Jesus. He's the only way that can help us. We need some supernatural healing in our land. We need a supernatural miracle in our deficit, on our budget here in America. We need to return back to Christ as a nation. We're broken. And why is the nation broken? Because I think we've gotten too haughty, too arrogant, too prideful. You know, we've gotten too prideful. Lord, get us back to you. Bring us back to you, Father God. Bring us back to you. That's the greatest battles, Father God, that can ever be won or on our knees. And let Congress know that. Let the Senate know that. You know, let them all know that they can scream and shout all they want, but they need to return. We as a nation need to return back to you, Father God. And again, as Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field. You know, because if you don't start doing it, someone else is going to bring another religion up and say, we're better than you. And, you know, and I know Islam, they want world domination. Well, we don't. This is America. And but one thing we as a nation need to do is repent, turn back to Christ, and let the Lord heal our broken land. You know, our land needs a healing, folks. Sometimes I wonder why the land is, you know, broken. It's because maybe we, the church, are broken. You know, and I'm not being critical of the pastors. I know a lot of pastors are working awful hard. And I thank God for pastors and all the arduous hours they put in ministering to the congregation and the people. And I thank the Lord for that. But I think a lot of the churches have fallen asleep behind the wheel. You know, name it, claim it, you want it, you can have it. You know, what is prosperity? I heard one pastor got a very valuable watch from a singer that I met years ago, and he was bragging about it. And he was flashing it in front of, you know, we got to quit that nonsense. You know, prosperity isn't about what you're wearing, you know, how big your jets are that you've gotten, how big your churches have gotten, how the books you've written. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And then we've gotten, you talk about Hollywood. We've got some pastors that are going around saying, well, that's God's blessings. What is God's blessings? What is prosperity? And I can tell you what that is. You know, prosperity is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? He says, all these things shall be added. You don't need to seek the stuff. The stuff will come to you. You just be faithful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things will be added. They'll be added. They'll come to you. You don't need to knock someone off or to climb the corporate ladder. You just need to stay focused on Jesus. And as the word says, your gift will make a way. And promotion doesn't come from man, by the way. It comes from Jesus. Promotion comes of the Lord. So you need to rest where you are, enjoy the journey, and use those gifts and talents that Jesus has placed in you, and let them come out of dormancy and come alive. You know, some of the trees now in Florida are starting to bud out. Your life has gone dormant. And ask the Lord, bring me out of dormancy. Wake me up. Let me use the gifts and the talents that you've given, given to me. And don't let me be like some other people and bragging about them and glitter and glowing and say, this is what God wants. God wants to prosper us all. Well, I tell you what, you know, if I had that stinking attitude showing a watch that was $200,000 or whatever and flying a $70 million jet, that to me is haughty. That's arrogance. And I don't know how these people sleep at night. And I'm being honest with you. I don't know how they sleep at night. You know, flying in their $70 million jets, flashing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of watches on them and bragging that they had 30 more at their house. That's not prosperity, folks. That's not why Jesus went to that cross. He went to the cross to shed his precious blood that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. What is prosperity? It's knowing him. It's knowing him. You know, well, God bless me and, you know, look what I have. Well, you know, where are you spiritually with Jesus? Remember when God called Adam, Adam, where are you? And I shared that with my wife yesterday. Well, Adam, where are you? And my wife had a good point. Adam, where's your heart? God knew where Adam was hiding after he sinned. God knew that. But the Lord wanted to know, Adam, where are you? Where's your heart with me? Where's your heart with me? And I'm saying that to pastors and people listening. Where are your hearts? There's some evangelists that you're out there just, you know, wanting more and more money, you know? And what's the money for? Tell me what the money is for. The money is not for your self-gain, for your rich, for your padding your pockets. It's for building people. It's not building $50 million churches. It's for building people. And that's what we need to do. We need to be building people and ministering to people about God's love and God's mercy and God's compassion and how they too may have life and life more abundantly. We're missing it, folks. Prosperity, we think, oh, well, that's God's blessing me. God's blessing me. I had an opportunity to go into Haiti. I believe it's one of the poorest countries almost on the earth anymore, you know, and those people were so happy. And you went to church there. You, I'm telling you, when you went to church, it was church, folks. It was saints of God. It was church. When they had worship, it's like worship I've never heard in my entire life. They really worshiped the Lord. And some of the people that were there with me had one leg missing and a couple arms missing. One orphan kid had to hop coming into the service because he had one leg on a crutch. And he was happy. He was smiling. He was playing the drums. I don't mean to have a... I'm not trying to have a critical spirit here today. I'm wanting to encourage you that the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. Christians, come on. You know, you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go into the mission field. The biggest mission field, when I left church last week, when I exited my church, I saw a spiritual sign as I left the church, and it said, welcome to the mission field when I left the church. This is a mission field. America's a mission field. You know, most of the people are buzzing. They're high on marijuana. They're high on cocaine. You know, nothing will bring you peace. Jesus says, peace I give unto you. It's nothing as the world can give, but I give unto you. What happens if Jesus is, you know, keeps, you know, like I hear pastors say, well, God wants you to have that. God wants you to have a watch like this. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to have a watch like that. I wouldn't. I'd rather take that money and put it in my ministry account and make dividends on it and do more for Jesus with it. Who cares about all this stuff? You know, and I'm not against stuff. God wants you to have a nice home, a nice car. I think we're getting too flashy. I think we're becoming too arrogant. We're like becoming like spoiled kids. You know, the more you give a kid and don't let them work, the more spoiled they get. And Jesus doesn't want his kids and children to be spoiled. You know, God, give me, give me. It's a bless me gospel. It is not a bless me gospel. You know, when I came to Christ, it wasn't all a bed of roses. I was a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away, and behold, I became a new person. But I definitely found out it's not about stuff, folks. It's about your relationship with Jesus and telling other people about him as well. I encourage you to wake up. Get stirred up in Jesus. And the revolution that we need to have here in America is a Jesus revolution because it's all about him. No matter what you're going through, it isn't about what Jesus can give you. I heard one lady one time called in on, I was on Pray Live. It was a 24-hour prayer years ago, and it went all around the world. I enjoyed it, folks. I really enjoyed it. I was on the radio and ministering to people in Africa, all over the earth, and I loved it. But there was one lady that just said, Lord, I need that Mercedes-Benz or that Jaguar. And I thought, well, that's all you're talking about, you know. I'm not saying the Jaguar is wrong. If you have one, that's it's okay, you know. But you know, don't make that your idol. Maybe have we made things an idol, you know, in our lives. Instead of making Jesus the idol, we're making stuff an idol. Lord, bless me, give me. It's not a give me and bless me gospel. It's all about Jesus. What if Jesus doesn't give you that new home you want? Well, still thank him and still praise him, you know. What I think of myself, you know, sometimes you can sit down and have a pity party for yourself. When I think of all the wars that have gone on in America, and, you know, one time they asked one person about, there was a battle, not the Battle of the Bulge, Normandy. And they asked this person, what about Normandy? And that teenager said, well, who is he? Who is he? You know, our kids don't even know history anymore. I ask them about the World War II. They won't even know that. Ask them about the Jews, and they say it didn't happen. You know, Ayatollah said the Holocaust didn't happen. Oh, it didn't. Oh, okay. We'll go to the grave sites and look at all the shoes they took off the people, and look at the massive graves where the Jews are buried, and look at the incinerators as Auschwitz, where they burned the bodies and gassed them and burned them. You know, this is frightening, folks. And what those people went through makes our issues very small. Makes our issues very small. We need to return back to Jesus, you know, not worry about how big our buildings are going to be in our churches and, you know, how I can write my next book and get my next jet. And it's people. We need to be about people and not stuff, you know. And I can't reiterate it enough. We need to go into this broken world and tell people about Jesus. You know, whether they be rich, poor, middle class, homeless, we need to be starting to tell people about Jesus. And next week, I am going to minister on 7 scriptures, how to minister effectively to the sinners. And there's 7 scriptures. It's really easy to do. You know, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to teach you how to go up to someone in God's love. Don't go up and say, oh, you're a sinner, and don't go up and fall on them. Don't try to be their Holy Spirit. Just go up to them and love on them. Love them where they are, on the way of where Christ is trying to take them. And I tell you what, I want you to fall deeper in love with Jesus. America, I think we've just gotten too glittery, in my opinion. You know, oh, you know, one time on TV they told me, and I loved Christian TV, I really did, you know, and it gave me a start to being on the radio. And I was on Christian TV with a friend of mine in Orlando, and I have to tell you, I miss it. But, you know, one thing, you know, they got on me one time about my wrinkles and, you know, well, you got to get those taken care of if you're going to be on TV. Well, I said, well, those are my smiley wrinkles. Yes, you know, there's nothing wrong with cosmetic surgery, but let's have a balance of it. Let's not have a cosmetic surgery 4 or 5 times a year. You know, in everything, there's a balance in it. Lord, give us that balance. Only you can give us that balance. You know, I think we're all focused. You know, I think we look good, we talk good, but inwardly, we don't care about the sinner. We don't care about our neighbor. We don't care about anything. I mean, go to a doctor's office, and they won't even ask you your name anymore. They just listen, and they go out of the room. They don't care. We're as a nation becoming heartless. Lord, get us back to you. And when you have a really head-on collision with Jesus and encounter with Jesus, Lord, give us compassion that we need to minister effectively to your people here while we're here, because people need Jesus. And we need to love on people, you know. And you go to some churches and they don't even have time to listen to you. And that's sad, you know. Come on, church. Someone comes in your door, love on them. You know, if someone wants to talk to you a minute, you know, you can't spend time with everyone, but you can listen to that person. It's time for a change in America. Billy Graham has been sharing, it's a crisis that we're going through in America. And Lord, help us. Because we really, thanks to God, We really need him. We really need the Lord. And I can't reiterate that enough, how much we need the Lord. It's really important that we fall deeper in love with him. And I've gone on. I probably stepped on some toes here. But I think I really feel in my heart, we really need to wake up. And Tom included. I'm not exempting myself. I include myself in that. Lord, wake Tom up. Wake the people that need to be awakened, that we can become alive and be more on fire for you, that we just fall in love with you and, you know, just love you more, Father God. and love you, that we can fall deeper, deeper in love with you. And we can go in America and wake it up. Help us, Father God. Thank you, God, for today. The listeners that are listening, just wake us up, Father. May not my will be done. May your will be done. Wake us up. Help us, Father God. Find our way back to you, that we can fall deeper in love with you, Father God. Nothing else. You are the way, the truth, and the life. It says, no man goeth to the Father but you, Jesus. That you shed your precious blood, that we might have life, and life more abundantly. We can't go to anyone else, you know. We can just go to you, the cross. So whatever you need, just go to the cross. You know, if I've offended some of you, I didn't come here to offend anyone. I came to say and share with you, to wake up, to hear his heart, fall deeper in love with him, have a head-on collision with Jesus, you know, and to know the Lord, to know him, know him intimately, fall deeper in love with him. Father, wake us up, Father God, that we can be that blessing to our neighbor, the sinner, the homeless man, to the pastor, to encourage him. Let us have a spirit of encouraging one another daily, as Hebrews 3:13 says, that we are to encourage one another daily, not yearly, bi-monthly, daily. But let burn that in our heart, burn that in our veins. Father God, come to and help us, help America. You know, we're in trouble. Help us, Father God. We're broken as a nation. Help mend us back again, and let us be that light that you called us to be into the dark places, wherever that may be, the bars, the streets, the church, the neighbor. Wake us up, Father God. You gave us a mouth, and let us use it. We're your hands. Let us love on someone. Let us pat and hug someone that needs a hug. Father God, help us. Well, my program's almost over. And love you all. Thank you for listening. And I pray that the best is yet to come for you. You may not have all the wealth in the world. You don't need it. You just need Jesus. Better where there is little, where love dwells, than plenty where hate abounds. So next week, may God richly bless you all.
Listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.